This is Paul Beston, associate editor of City Journal, and I'm talking today with James Panaro, who is managing editor of the New Criterion. James has written a provocative article for our spring 2011 issue called The Hudson River Destruction Project, which describes the Environmental Protection Agency's effort to dredge pollutants along a 40-mile portion of the river with often disastrous results. James, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here, and nice to meet you in person.
You too. Why don't you start by just describing what this dredging project is all about? What is the EPA trying to accomplish, and where is this taking place?
Sure. Well, I'd say I started on this not knowing a whole lot about PCBs, but knowing that I should fear them. So that's about all right. I knew about PCBs. And I would say I ended the story much more afraid of the EPA. And I make a comparison saying that, you know, we should be concerned about toxic waste, but we should also be concerned about the toxic wastefulness of government agency that has no checks and balances to force a massive project like this on the public sector. Short story is the Upper Hudson has always been an industrial community. It was the industry of the Empire State. From 1947 to 1977, at two plants in the Upper Hudson, GE used PCBs, and I'll discuss what PCBs are in a minute, in its manufacturing of electrical components. As part of standard procedure, GE discharged waste or kind of surplus PCBs into the Hudson for that length of time. And they did that with full knowledge and go-ahead of all agencies involved. It was standard practice, and I think we can all say in retrospect a very bad practice, but it was standard practice at the time. In the late 1970s, we had new concerns about the health of the river, not only PCBs, but all pollutants that were just going in there. Basically, the Hudson was being treated as a kind of open sewer system. And at that time, GE shut off the pipes and started its own cleanup process. There was a whole bunch of court wranglings with the state. And basically, we're now how many years? Late 35 years. And it just kind of shows you how long these things take. And 35 years later, only now is the federal government involved in forcing GE to dredge up all those PCBs that it dumped, probably, I think, a million. I don't know the exact statistic. I'll have to check. It's actually a little bit unknown. But to dredge them up. Now, you can see in the 1970s, there was probably a very compelling reason to get those PCBs out of there. The Hudson was a mess. 35 years later, the Hudson has very much cleaned itself through its regular flow. And the Hudson now is safe enough to swim in. You can drink the water. And you can even fish parts of the Hudson again.
Right.
But once a bureaucracy kind of gets going, there's no stopping it, even if reason might say, you know, let's compare the cost to the benefits of this. And so the EPA, through the power of Superfund, can compel GE to dredge these 40 miles of the Hudson without any concern for costs on EPA's part. I mean, any federal agency should really be called the Department of OPM, other people's money, you know. And so I think the only consideration they've had is how much they can make GE pay for it. And so probably in the end of the day, this project will cost GE $2-3 billion.
And you point out GE had actually very successfully completed remediation of its own plants, right, in compliance with that initial agreement in the 70s.
That's
and
right.
Now the government sort of has trying to put GE on the hook for doing the river part.
Yeah, if you look back, and there's such a long history here, if you look back at the initial, there were some initial settlements with the state, because the state did sign off on it, and there was a kind of landmark settlement with GE about who was going to deal with these pollutants. And GE, the settlement, and actually Jack Welch was part of that settlement, the settlement determined that GE would clean up its plant sites, and the state would take care on its own dime with the remediation of the river. The great thing about Superfund from a government's point of view is that all those agreements are void, null and void, and not only that, but Superfund can then still require GE now to pay itself for the dredging. So, I mean, if you're a state bureaucrat, that's the best thing in the world. You're off
sure.
the hook again.
Sure.
So that's what's happened.
So getting back to PCBs again, what are they for those who don't know, and how dangerous are they to humans?
Right. So they're called polychlorinated biphenols, and they're a whole series of man-made products. They're kind of one of these miracle compounds. And, you know, in terms of fearing toxic waste, I think PCBs are not exactly like plutonium. PCBs are an oily-like substance that were used in electrical components as an insulator, a liquid insulator. Before that time, when you had electrical components, you used a kind of mineral oil to draw the heat away from the components as you're dealing with the electricity passing through them. The problem was that was very flammable and was dangerous. PCBs are a remarkable product because they could dispense with that heat, but they're not at all flammable. So they're a much safer product for electrical transmission. The downside is that that stability actually makes them dangerous in many ways to the environment because they don't break down easily. And they are water-soluble, but they can lodge themselves in fatty tissue. So that's the concern.
Right. But as you point out, the numbers are in your piece, but the quantity of PCBs in the Hudson seems to have long since gone well under federal warning levels in terms of safety, is what you were alluding to earlier. The
right.
river has become so much cleaner, both through the Clean Water Act, through GE's efforts, through state efforts, et cetera. So with PCB levels really quite low in the river, what is driving the EPA to really mount this seemingly draconian effort to
right.
dredge the last bits of them off the river?
How could they even say you got to do it now?
Right.
So, you know, 30, 35 years, you have a moving river depositing sediment on top of those layers of PCB that basically float into the bottom of the river. And that sediment has built up a couple feet in places, and it's kind of covered over the dangerous portions. There is a calculus, though, that's been to a great benefit for the regulators who want to dredge called bioaccumulation. What that means is that, as I mentioned, PCBs can build up in fatty tissue and in food products. So that's why we care about, let's say, the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Fish can consume or through their respiratory systems take in very microscopic amounts of PCBs. And those, as they go up the food chain, can slowly accumulate. And so you can run scenarios that say, well, if you were to eat, you know, striped bass or fish out of the Hudson every day of your life, you could potentially now ingest enough PCBs to potentially cause a problem for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant that infinitesimal amounts of detectable PCBs allow the EPA to move forward with this dredging project, even though all reason would say this is just not going to happen. There's the subsistence fishers, and they're using all these arguments that, you know, we have to get the fish back to their pristine condition. You know, the fact is, you can, through the, in the, especially in Lower Hudson, you can eat a reasonable amount of fish already. And that seems like a reasonable solution, rather than, in my opinion, doing a very expensive dredging project that not only costs GE a great deal of money, but also let's look at the environmental impact of PCBs released.
Right, that's what I...
This dredging is not a clean operation. It's extremely dirty. It uses open scoops. Basically, you're scooping up those PCBs through the water. Naturally, it just makes sense that these PCBs are going to get stirred up and become, again, start flowing in the river. And that's happened. And the problem is the downriver communities that rely on the Hudson for drinking water can no longer do that. And not only that, but the people who live in Fort Edward, and this is another part of the story, the people who live in Fort Edward, the area of these plants, has to put up with the dredging project, which is extremely invasive to their community, including a 110-acre plant that the EPA cited and GE had to build to deal with all that sludge that's being taken out of the river by barge, moved by barge to this processing facility where it's been squeezed of its water and eventually loaded onto 81-car trains and, for the most part, shipped to Texas, which is the closest site that will take this material. So, I mean, let's look at the carbon footprint of some project like
sure.
that.
And the EPA has been pretty heavy-handed in terms of dealing with the residents as well, right? I mean,
well, it's so interesting. You would assume the people who live near these plants and actually have the PCBs in front of them would be the most in favor of this project. But very much from the beginning days, they are against this project. For one thing, they tended to work in the GE plants, and they had people who worked, their relatives worked with GE, with PCBs, and they seemed to be fine. You know, so it wasn't like PCBs were causing a lot of damage in the community when they were being used in the plants. And then what happened is they saw the heavy hand of the regulators early on, when first the state and now the feds came in and started taking up their land to site these dump sites or processing facilities, and really ruining their community in the process.
Right. So in the minute or so we have left, the project is going to go forward. Is there any there is some local opposition. I'm just wondering, what's the forecast in terms of things going forward? The EPA seems it's pretty much all systems go.
It's such a steamrolling at this point. There's no stopping it. GE tried to, I think, reason in court with EPA about the scope of the project. I think they lost. They now have to go through. There was an initial phase of dredging that was kind of a test phase in 2009. They're now, this spring, going to have to, I think, resume and do the entire dredging project moving forward. That will be the cost of $2 to $3 billion estimated.
Well, thanks for talking with us today, James.
Oh, thank you.
James Panero's article, The Hudson River Destruction Project, appears in City Journal's Spring 2011 issue and is available on our website, www.city-journal.org.